I'm going to do a little bit different of a presentation than what's already been done. I'm going to talk about a specific intervention, and the intervention I'm going to talk about is the Journey of Hope. And the Journey of Hope was actually created here in New Orleans post-Katrina, and some of my co-creators are in the audience right now, so I'd like to recognize them. And so what this intervention is it's a school-based intervention, psychosocial intervention, to really help kids overcome trauma that they may have experienced after a disaster, but also in other kind of chronic poverty settings. So just a little background on this. So in New Orleans, there was a high need. Post-Katrina New Orleans, there was a high need for mental health programs for children who are experiencing distress in the schools. There were a lot of kids who were exhibiting acting out behaviors and internalizing behaviors. There was a lot of fighting going on within the schools. And actually, the program really began because there was a gang fight in one of the local middle schools. And they're shaking their heads because you guys remember. And the crisis counselor from the RSD called my supervisor, Kathleen, who's in the audience, and she said, 20 of these children, I think it was about 20, are going to be expelled if we don't do something. And so Kathleen asked us to go into the schools and figure out what these kids really needed. And so there was a lot of mental health programming, but there wasn't any broad-based interventions available for these kids, just to talk about how do we deal with our anger, how do we deal with the fears we have, how do we keep ourselves safe. And so what we did, we went into the schools and we said, what do you guys need? And a lot of the students said, you know what, we don't want to talk about Katrina anymore. We want to talk about what's going on in our community, you know, what's happening. We're experiencing a lot of violence. You know, we've seen people being shot. You know, there's a lot of drug uses. We just don't feel safe in our communities. And so from that, we spent about 2 years creating this program and deciding what do these kids need. And we manualized the intervention. And what we realized was a lot of these kids maybe didn't need specific therapeutic interventions, but they just needed something, they needed an outlet to talk about what they were going through. So just in the creation of the Journey of Hope, as I said, it took about 2 years to really create, but what it's turned into is a set of 5 developmentally appropriate interventions for children, both children and caregivers affected by a disaster. So caregivers, meaning teachers and parents who have also experienced the disasters. And we talk about stress and coping with them. For the children, it's an 8-session psychoeducational model. And what we really focus on is building those coping skills for kids and talking about different experiences they have and providing a safe setting for them to really discuss what they're going through. So we address different learning styles within the intervention. So we use psychoeducation, so there's discussion, arts-based activities, and then we focus on literacy. And what we're really trying to do is get the kids what we're talking about to resonate with the kids to build positive coping skills for them. So in terms of delivery of the Journey of Hope, it's been delivered in a number of different settings since it stopped being delivered in here in 2009, but we did a lot of train the trainers here, so it's still being run within the schools in some capacity. But it was run in New Zealand after a 6.3 magnitude earthquake. The caregivers one was actually done after the school shooting in Newtown. It's been done in New York and New Jersey after Sandy, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, which is, I'm going to discuss the research based on Tuscaloosa. And then Moore, Oklahoma, which I'm actually doing a research project on there now. And then we've also done it with refugee kids in Baltimore. And then finally in Italy and the UK, it's being done as a preparedness program versus a response program. So the learning objectives of the Journey of Hope are really to support children to understand and normalize emotions that they have associated with trauma or really any difficult life circumstance. So as I said, each session focuses on a different topic. So we start off with safety, really helping the children identify all of their safe places. What are the resources they have? And then talking about fear, anger, aggression, bullying within schools as well, because that's really common in post-disaster settings. It's really common all the time, but definitely in post-disaster settings. And then to support these kids to build positive coping strategies to deal with whatever emotions that they're going through. And what we really try to do is empower the children to feel more control over whatever stressor that they have. Pounding going on up there. So there's also a theoretical background to it, and I'll go over the theory that we've incorporated within to the curriculum. So what we try to do is, again, I've talked a lot about coping, and we're trying to build those healthy coping techniques through internal and external coping resources. So what are the internal resources they have, and then what kind of external supports do they have within their community, within their family? It's done in small groups, so we provide a safe setting so they can process and assign meaning to whatever they're dealing with, whatever difficult situation. And then it helps them understand what are common, what we try to do is teach them what are common reactions to traumatic stressors, so that they can identify those internal and external resources. Then we also focus on risk and resilience frameworks, so identifying that most of these kids have had experience to risk, and we try to build protective factors for them. So there's, in the world, there's all sorts of protective factors, risk and protective factors that kids can experience. Within this specific curriculum, we focus on teaching self-regulation skills and promoting self-efficacy within the children. And then externally, we really focus on promoting positive relationships with the facilitators, building problem-solving skills, and building peer relationships. And then in terms of social cognitive theory, we try to help the kids learn through social interaction, learn through positive social interaction, through observing healthy relationships within the group. And we make them active participants within the learning process. So we're not just talking at them, but we're having them tell us what they're going through in the group setting. So to get on to the research, what we've done so far in terms of the research is I've done a pre- and post-test of the intervention in New Zealand after the earthquake. The one I'm going to really talk about today is the quasi-experimental design. So it was actually quasi-experimental mixed methods design in Tuscaloosa in 2012. And then right now, I'm working on a quasi-experimental design in Moore, Oklahoma, with some of the older children. So in Tuscaloosa, this is a little background on the quantitative research. We had a waitlist control design. We had 48 children in the Journey of Hope group and then 54 in the waitlist control. So all of those children eventually did receive the intervention. And we conducted it in three schools that were impacted by the tornado. And the children were recruited essentially by the social workers and teachers within the school. The dependent variables we looked at were coping through the Youth Coping Index, overall difficulties through the Strengths and Difficulties Questionnaire, and then peer relationships, which is a subscale from the Community That Cares survey, which actually identifies risk and protective factors. So in terms of analyses, I did a multi-level model to look at the differences in the dependent variables over those two time points. I used the multi-level model because the children came from a bunch of different settings, and so I wanted to look at the dependent variables by the group over time in different multi-level structure. So we had two levels. I wanted to do three levels at first, but because we had some small numbers in some of the schools, I had to stick with two levels. So the level one was the different measurement occasions, and level two was the children temporarily nested with an individual. And so what we were really looking for were the fixed effects of treatment and time, and then treatment by time, because we really wanted to see what the program impact was. So this is a little group assignment for you. So we lost, we had missing post-tests for 32 of the kids. And we had kind of a hard time getting parental consent. So we started off with 176 students, but we ended up with 102 students. So this is a lot of numbers on here, and I should have made it a little bit easier to see. But in terms of demographics, you can see most of the children were 9 or 10 years old. were in fourth or fifth grade. They were split pretty evenly between male and female, and mostly African American. And then these are the results, again, very small. But as you can see, we found two significant outcomes. So one was a significant increase in coping for children who participated in the Journey of Hope. And then another one was a significant increase in pro-social behavior, and that was a teacher report measure. So coping was the self-report, and pro-social was the teacher report. Now, all of the other ones, we didn't find significant increases, but they did trend in the right direction, so that was really promising. And that's why we want to do future studies to see if there's a differential impact. So there are a few limitations to the quantitative study. First of all, it was a small sample size. There was also a possible contamination of the control group because the kids knew what the other kids were doing. They knew they were participating in the Journey of Hope. And then the measures, because it was weightless control, we only conducted them at two time points. And so I'm working now actually in more to do it at three time points to see if the results are sustained. And then also there was a possible selection bias. What we've found is that teachers and social workers in the schools tend to want to have the kids who participate first be the ones who have a little bit more difficulties. And so we've tended to see they have higher problems with coping and overall difficulties at baseline. Now, in terms of the case study, the qualitative findings, what we did was we did an instrumental case study approach, and that's really what we were looking at with cases within a bounded system. And so it's commonly used, this is a program evaluation, so it's commonly used in program evaluations to really examine all the themes, looking at individual cases within the program. We did semi-structured individual interviews and focus groups. So we had 30 kids in the focus group, five focus groups, between the third and fifth grade. We had, 14 interviews with, we had 14, actually, that means 14 individual interviews with social work facilitators who actually facilitated a group, and then five individual interviews with the school social workers. So the facilitators and the school social workers were actually different groups of people. And we used content analysis to analyze the text for searching for reoccurring themes, and we established inter-rater reliability because we had two raters. So we individually identified the themes and in the focus groups and interview transcripts, and then came back together and saw and identified if we had recurring themes between. So I'm going to take a quick drink. The case study themes that we found were the kids said they really overall learned techniques to manage their emotions. So one student said, we talked about anger, how to control your anger, and how to get it out, such as playing games and doing what you like to do. So they learned different healthier ways to manage their anger. And then another child said, you learned how to calm yourself down, how to relax, because I know I get angry, and it helped me just think of what I learned and stuff. I had to keep the stuff in there. And then another theme that came out where they developed relationships with other group members. And so overall, the kids, it's a common theme that throughout the program, is that kids really say they've learned to create new relationships with people that they didn't really know before. And actually, and then also the children learn the ability to express themselves. And one of the social workers from the school that I interviewed said that she noticed that they can really verbalize what they need versus before they weren't really able to verbalize their emotions and they were just acting out. And finally, they learned ways to keep themselves safe. So a lot of them talked about how they learned how to protect their family, how to protect their friends, how to keep themselves safe. And then another student said, we talked about different ways you can be safe and how sometimes you can feel better if you're scared. And So a specific thing that one of the students pulled out is like you could have a diary, or you could talk it out to yourself or something like that, or that you could call a friend and talk to them. So clinical implications for this mixed method study are that there really are very few broad-based interventions for children who've experienced a disaster. And so this is one of the broad-based interventions that is out there and that has now been researched. So we're really excited about this, about moving forward with more evaluations and research on the program to really look at the impact. There's a lot of programs out there that are really focused on healing mental health issues, so focusing on PTSD, focusing on anxiety, on depression. This is more generalized. This is just teaching social-emotional skills for kids who may not have the resources to know themselves within their communities. So this also illustrates that a broad-based intervention can help build coping skills and enhance protective factors on a wider audience of youth. And then this is a small research study, but it really lays the groundwork for future research. And I think I am done before I'm out of time. So these are recent publications that came up with. One, if you are interested in reading a little bit more detail, one is actually, it was done on the caregiver's evaluation. Then there's another one that's more of a conceptual article. I have two that are in press right now, and one's on the qualitative findings and one's on the quantitative findings that I presented. So we have, and my email's down at the bottom if you have any questions. That's it. Thank you.